Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be with you this evening. For most of you here, it's this afternoon. I know a few of you are in this part of Europe, but wonderful. I'm very happy to be with you, and thank you for the invitation. Maybe thank you to Fuyuko, who was supposed to be talking tonight and actually invited me to be here. And thank you, Chris, for our exchanges together. This is actually the first time for me, I think, that I'm talking with this such a special audience. I usually talk a lot with teachers, sports coaches, managers, but sharing this with an audience who all of you meditates, because I understand this is what's bringing you together, is a wonderful opportunity for me, because I'd like to share with you tonight around my passion, which is about listening and presence. And I've been very fortunate for the last 30 years of my life to be in that space every day. So I'm going to first do something which is very paradoxical. I'm going to talk about listening, so which can sound quite strange to talk about listening, right? But I guess I have to say a few words first about maybe myself, so you know, so we have some idea of where I'm coming from. But I'll be short, and of course, in the last half an hour, you may ask whatever questions you would like to ask. But I think it's maybe useful for you to know that actually what happened 30 years ago is that I had the amazing fortune to live what I consider as the most beautiful school, which was I learned how to become a volunteer listener in a suicide prevention hotline. So I know in Australia it's called Lifeline. In England, it's the Samaritans. In France, SOS Amitié. So actually, there's helplines, emotional support helplines all over the world. There's actually over 100,000 volunteers in the world offering permanently 24/7 free emotional support. And I actually learned how to listen. So there's a year's training, depending the different centers in the world. And basically, I learned how to be present with people who are going through deep suffering, up to the extent that some don't want to live anymore. And I learned that actually we can all learn, all of us, about this quality of presence and listening. And what struck me after the training is I really wondered how come I didn't receive this type of training at school. I went through a difficult childhood for several reasons, but I realized that if at school, when I was a kid, if I would have learned how to be present and how to listen, it would have completely changed my education, my relationship to school, but not just to school, to life. Because what I discovered is actually learning how to listen and be present is actually about our relationship to life. Because when we talk about listening, we think about listening to others. Of course, there's listening to life, to nature. But most of the time when we talk about listening, we think about listening to the others. And actually, what I learned is that before being able to listen to others, I have to learn how to listen to myself. So that can sound a bit egocentric, but actually, when you think about it, you can't really listen to others better than you can listen to yourself. What was really amazing for me, learning to be present in such an environment of a suicide prevention hotline, is that actually the people who were trained had different fears. Some were afraid, of course, of having somebody who suddenly didn't want to live anymore and had maybe even done the necessary to leave, but didn't want to leave alone. But some were maybe more afraid of having somebody who had done child abuse or other forms of violence. And that really showed me that actually why we have to learn how to listen to ourselves if we really want to listen to others. Because learning to listen to others is really about developing our own self-awareness, developing the awareness of our own unique inside, who we are. So what I found fascinating thinking about this time together today, and as I said, it was the first time I could prepare sharing with an audience who I knew that everybody was a meditator, which means to me that you all know about silence. We are all learning to become friends with silence. And the beautiful thing is that silence is actually our entry door to learning how to listen. So what I was wondering is, while we all learn to be silent and to welcome what's in the space of silence when we meditate, how are we bringing that quality that we develop in our day-to-day life? So not just how are we able to be, of course, peaceful with the people we encounter during our day, the days, but also is this helping us develop our listening of others? So what I would like to explore together is how this silence can actually allow us to deepen, and I would say widen even our listening, not just of inside ourselves when we are meditating, but how we can bring that in the outside world. So I've been sharing around listening, as I said, for 30 years, and teaching to very different audiences, from children to teachers to managers, around listening. And that question I asked myself, which I mentioned before, how come I didn't learn how to listen at school, has actually been part of my, I don't know if I can say in English, my quest of making listening and presence as accessible as possible to as many people as possible. And what I found is that when we talk about listening and presence, very often it carries a lot of psychological understanding, which is can be extremely useful. But actually, especially working with young people, I realized that there's maybe a much more direct and intuitive way to enter the space. So when I talk about a space, I actually also like to talk about a field. And I'll mention the beginning of a poem that I love, of the Sufi poet Rumi, who mentions beyond ideas of right doing and wrongdoing, there's a field, and I'll meet you there. And that's the field I'd like to explore together today. What is that field beyond the right doing and the wrongdoing? And the poem actually starts by beyond ideas. So which ideas is our intellectual dimension? It's our understanding dimension. So what I'd like to invite us to explore together is another connection beyond the intellectual dimension. And what I realized is that actually our state of presence, each one of us here now, is in a specific, we're probably in very different states of presence. And actually we will see this. We will be able to see it in a little while. And you know, when we wake up in the morning and when we go to bed in the evening, during the day, I'm sure you'd all agree that the quality of our presence fluctuates. There are moments where we feel really available, where we feel that there's space in us to welcome the others. We can feel that there is, we actually have awareness of our opinions or our judgments, and we are able to put them aside to be in a space of compassion, of empathy. And there are moments where things go pretty fast up here, or we are overwhelmed. And of course, in those spaces, we are not as present. And what I discovered is that one of the things that has helped me a lot has been to have self-compassion. In other words, when I go through these different states of being, that I'm able to not judge myself, but just acknowledge that right now I'm in this state of presence. And the more I'm able to observe objectively, which means observe without judgment, these states of presence, actually, the more I'm going to learn about myself, and the more it's going to bring me into a space where I learn, rather than learning intellectually through analyzing and trying to make sense or make things logical, I'm going to start to observe what is and try to not hold any judgments on it and let it go. So I've actually discovered that we can understand our presence through four different spaces. Each one of us here right now is in one of these four spaces I'm going to explain to you. Maybe not all of the spaces, but I have no doubt that we're not all in the same space. So I'm going to share with you what these four spaces are about. And this is why Marlene has given me the possibility to share my screen. So this is really about what I was sharing before, the quality of my presence with myself and with the others. And this approach, and I'm going to share my screen and show you the first. There we are. So this is, we're going to enter this little box called the relational compass. And the relational compass allows us to enhance our presence and our trust, trust in ourselves and trust with others. So at the beginning, we can see here that there are two spaces. There are two fundamental spaces, and there's one space. So this first, as you are all seeing, I'm imagining, I just have to change my vision. There we go. So as you can see on this screen, the space on the right is the space where we actually feel related to others. So where we actually are, we have a motivation to be with others. There are moments in our day and periods of our life where we are more motivated to be with others than other moments. And the space on the right, which is defined as the space two being me and you, which is in that space, I'm actually happy to be with others. And you may observe that usually when we are happy, eager to be with others, we're usually in comfortable emotions. I try to avoid to talk about positive and negative emotions because all emotions are telling something important, but there are comfortable and uncomfortable emotions. So you can observe that the moments where you're happy to be with others, these are moments where we are usually joyful or happy or just in a comfortable mood. Now, on the other side, the one means that I'm actually not feeling motivated or happy to be with others. And there can be many reasons, of course, of this. And usually when we're not wanting to connect with other people, it's usually because there's something going on for us where we don't have the availability to be with others. And the one actually has another definition, which is that sometimes we're actually really happy to be alone, right? So I'll just stop sharing the screen here so I can see you. So this is really something important, which is to acknowledge that when I'm not available for others, it can mean that I'm maybe not feeling very well, or something is bothering me, but it can also mean that there's simply a space where I want to be by myself. So of course, for all of you who meditate, you know this. And I love doing this with young people or children, because for them, it's a huge discovery. For many of them, they realize that when their friends don't talk to them, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're angry with them. So this is really interesting also, because many people who don't meditate can be uncomfortable with silence. And it can be very useful in a couple, in a friendship, or in a group, in a team, or any group, to understand that there are moments where we are happy to connect with others, and there are moments where we're not. And that moment when we are not can be comfortable or uncomfortable. So just imagine that you arrive in the morning at breakfast, with your partner, and that morning you don't really want to talk. And you can just say, you know, this morning I'm a little bit in a one, and the other understands. And that allows me to tell you that actually in this relational compass, which we're going to be exploring together, there are three golden rules. And the first one is, when we're in the relational compass, we only talk if we want to. That's really important. We're going to all share with each other where we are, in which space we are, and you're going to see there are two more spaces. But we don't have to talk if we don't want to. That's a very important golden rule. So I'll continue sharing the two other spaces. So we're going to go a bit deeper. And here's the next space. So I'm imagining that you can all relate to these two spaces where we have a different energy, different presence. Now there's another one here, which is the zero. Now what's that? The zero is not a moralistic judgment, but actually zero does mean this is the space where we're not comfortable. We all know, because we know that's part of life, that difficult moments can happen. They can be very short and they can be long. And just imagine that with your friend, your partner, or your teammates, that you can actually authentically share, I'm actually, just now I'm going through a difficult moment, I'm in a zero. That's my space. Just imagine how useful that can be to know that. So that allows me to tell you a second golden rule, which is we're going to do our best to not judge each other and not judge ourselves. And I did say we're going to do our best. So it's not we are not going to judge ourselves, because the reality is that it's very difficult. We are actually having opinions and point of views all the time, but we're going to do our best to not judge each other and not judge ourselves. So the zero, by definition, is really the space, the uncomfortable space. So two is usually comfortable. One, where I'm connected to myself but not to others, can be comfortable or uncomfortable. And the zero is I'm not only not connected to others, but I don't feel connected to myself. And now we're going to go for the last space, which is a three. Now, what is the three? The space three, it's bliss. These special moments where we're in the flow, where we feel connected, not just to ourselves and others, but we feel connected to life. And each one of us has different relationships with this space. So basically, it's really a space where we are in very high presence. So as you can see, these four spaces are very simple, and they are connected to our relational energy. Just like we have physical energy and we can observe our physical energy, just like we can observe our breath when we meditate, we can actually also observe our relational energy. And the beautiful thing about observing our relational energy is that it's a way to enter the space of self-compassion, accepting that's where I am now. I'm not going to judge myself. And it's also a way to realize that all other human beings fluctuate. So when we meet each other, we can be anywhere in that space, because behind our face, which can be maybe smiling, there can be deep suffering, there can be loneliness. But we only discover that if we open ourselves to others. But one of the reasons very often we don't open ourselves to others is that we maybe don't want to talk about it. But usually, when we know that we're not going to be judged, and we're not going to have to talk about it if we don't want to. Usually we all know it's a gift to be ourselves, to be authentic and to be welcomed how we are here and now. So the relational compass allows us to, first of all, be very honest and true to ourselves. I recognize I'm in a zero now, or I'm in a one, but the one is rather comfortable. I just want to get my work done, or I want to go running or meditate. Or no, I'm in a two. I'm looking forward to connect and to listen and to exchange. Or I'm in a three. I just feel so present. So I'm in this gifted moment. So I'd love this to do a little relational compass altogether. It just takes a few minutes. So I didn't say the third golden rule. The third golden rule, we're not going to go into any conversation. So three golden rules. We're going to each say where we are if we're in the zero, one, two, three. We don't have to talk. We don't have to say anything more if we don't want to. We are going to do our best not to judge each other and to not judge ourselves. And we're not going to go into any conversation. So before doing this, I'm going to just ask if this is clear. Are you all able to identify in which space you are, or would you like any clarification of these four spaces?
Yes, actually, could you clarify each space just succinctly again, please?
Yes, with pleasure, Chris. So,
thank you.
So I'll start with the zero. Zero is I'm not connected to others and I'm not connected to myself. These moments where we feel disconnected to others, disconnected to ourselves. So the zero is really where we're not feeling comfortable. It's by essence an uncomfortable space. That's the zero. Maybe I'll put it up. I'll put it up the screen again so you can see it while I'm sharing. So that's the zero, uncomfortable. The one is I don't feel connected to others, but I do feel connected to myself. So there's a very interesting question which you could explore later. What's the difference for you between feeling connected to yourself or not? So the one, not feeling connected to others, but feeling connected to ourselves, can be comfortable or uncomfortable. The two, I feel connected to others. I'm looking forward. So I'm in a relational energy where I'm looking forward to connect with others. And the three is beyond feeling connected to others, I actually feel connected to life, to something bigger. So we can also see very easily these four spaces as presence. Of course, in the zero, I have very little presence, not only to others, but to myself. The one, I'm present to myself, but not to others, comfortable or uncomfortable. The one is the only one which can really be comfortable or uncomfortable. Two, I feel connected to others, usually uncomfortable, so I'm present. And the three, my presence is very, very strong, very high. I'm in the flow. I'm in the zone. I'm in a space of bliss. Is that clear? I'm happy to precise. If maybe one of you needs more precision, I'm happy to do that. Or I'll wait a few seconds. Otherwise, we'll go into a relational compass. So I will take your silence as we understand. So we'll do that. So with COVID, we have found many creative ways of doing the relational compass, as you can imagine, because we did it much more often before physically, when we're there physically, where we can actually move into spaces. So what I'd like to do today, I'd like to invite all of you to put your cameras off. And so just put your camera off. And I'm going to call one of the spaces. And if you are in that space, I'll invite you to just put your camera on. And you don't have to say anything. It's just showing up. We're just going to be authentic among ourselves here and now. We're going to show up as we are, whether we're in the 0, 1, 2, 3. If you want to say something, you'll be able to say something later. But let's just show up to bring authenticity in this group. And I will start. We can start anywhere, but I will start. Is anybody in the 3? If anybody's in a 3 right now, it's always here and now. If anybody's in a 3 here and now, if you can just put your camera on. And Chris, thank you. So Chris is our team member who's in a 3 now. Thanks, Chris, for letting us know. So you can put your camera off. Now, who's in a 2? Who's in the space of a 2 now? Okay, so a few of you are in a 2. Thank you. So we can all look at each other and welcome those who are in a 2. So basically, we know that those who are showing up now in a 2 are saying, I'm open to connect. I'm happy to connect. So it's about half of the team, I would guess, around. So thank you. You can put your cameras off. And while you put your cameras off, I'm going to ask now those who are in a 1, knowing that the 1 can be comfortable or uncomfortable. We don't know. So we don't know, but thank you. So here we can see those who are rather in an energy of 1. So thank you and welcome. Thank you for showing up. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. So you can put your cameras off. And now the last one will be, so if you want to put your cameras off, maybe some of us are in a 0, which means not connected with ourselves very much. And if anybody's in a 0, you can put your camera on. And so it isn't the case today, well, actually here and now. So thank you. So you can all put your cameras on. Back on, those who had your cameras on, so we can reconnect. So that actually shows that in our group, well, at that specific moment, because our relational energy fluctuates, it changes, of course, but at that right now, this is the space we're in, where most people are in a 2, quite a few in a 1, 1 in a 3, and nobody's in a 0 now. So thank you for showing up. And now I'll ask you the question, which is, who would maybe like to share why you are, or how you understand that you're in this space of 1, 2, or 3? And remember, only if you want to, because due to the time, we'll maybe only take maybe 2, 3 people, not more. But if anybody would like to share. And if you do, maybe I'd ask you to just remind us what space you are in, if it's 1, 2, or 3. And if you just want to share what brings you into that space today or here and now. Yeah, Maureen, please. Oh, you have to unmute yourself, Maureen. Thank you. We still don't hear you. Well, I don't.
I haven't spoken. Can you hear me now?
No, I do, yes.
Yes, I said that I'm in a 2. In other words, I feel connected to others. I feel connected to others because I'm in a space of learning. And in a learning for me is a very comfortable space. I'm happy when I'm learning. So, yeah, thank you.
Mm. Thank you, Maureen. So I understand that learning actually puts you in an energy of openness because you enjoy learning.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do. Thank you. Love it.
Thank you.
Mm.
Thank you. Well, is anybody else would like to share? Yes, please, Tony.
Mark, I was in the 1 and have become connected with myself, but less so others generally. I'm diagnosed with social anxiety disorder. So I spend a lot of time in that space where I find it difficult. These types of environments are less confronting, but out in the real world, I find, I tend to keep to myself.
Thank you very much, Tony, for sharing that with us. And welcome as you are. And thank you for sharing that. Is there one other person maybe who would like to share? Only if you want. You remember, it's one of the golden rules.
I'll share. This is Martha. She gave words to it. Maureen did. I was trying to figure out why is it that I was thinking at first that I'm in a zero because of certain, you know, conditions in this part of life over here. And, but the part right here with you guys that she gave voice to is I too feel connected with others when I'm learning, and I love learning. And because of that, I am feeling in a two. It's very, very helpful for me. So that's why I'm in a two when I really could be in a zero, because I get in a tizzy about what's actually going on around the life around here, as opposed to the online stuff. I love learning, and it really makes me feel connected to you guys. Thank you so much. I appreciate it very much.
Mark, Pinder also would like to offer, I think, Pinder.
Thank you, Chris. Just before thank you very much, Chris. Just before, I'd like to thank you, Marta, for sharing that. And I understand you're in the US. So when you say about what's happening around you, that you're living in maybe a stressful world, and that's this space where it's about also learning actually is making you feel good, if I understand well. Yeah.
Okay, sorry, yes, that is the only thing that's really kept me alive in a time where nothing else was working out. And I've been through poverty and homelessness and all sorts of different stuff. And what it came down to in the end for me was that really I can do poverty. I can't do it without people, but I can rather be alone than with people who are not interested in learning or being together or being in that space where the gift you said was being in place with a person where you feel not judged and you can share or not share. And there are not many places like that for me in my personal life. And so the learning, e.g., that is, for example, before I found y'all, there was a book that I found at the library in Spartanburg, South Carolina, that kept me alive. I mean, it was the only intellectual stimulation that I had. So yes, it's the learning. And yes, you pegged it and Maureen gave it voice. Thank you very much. I appreciate y'all being here.
Thank you, Martha. So Pinder, yes, I saw. Thank you, Chris, also. Please, right. Pinder.
Just a quick one. I was in one, but the comfortable part of one. So I couldn't really make up my mind whether I should go for two or one. So I went for one, but heading towards a two.
Thank you. Thank you, Pinder. If I may just ask a question, does that mean actually that, okay, you were in a comfortable one, but is it maybe the sharing and hearing people that is bringing you towards maybe a two?
Yes, because quite a few people in the audience here met, we used to meet physically, so that makes me a bit more comfortable to connect there, because I'm still getting used to meeting remotely with people. I'm more comfortable talking face to face with the person in the physical space, but I'm getting used to this slowly.
Thank you, Pinder. So I see that Sarah has her hand up, and I am aware that we time we're taking now will be a little bit over our guided meditation, but if it may be, something is telling me that it's maybe worthwhile, that we can see this as a form of meditation altogether as well. But we will, after it's going to meditate, a little guided meditation together. So thank you, Sarah, please. Sarah.
Sarah, I found it quite interesting, and I definitely move between all of those things. Like I've been at 3 before, and I've been at 0 quite a bit lately. And I think that when I'm at an uncomfortable 1, then it drops me down to the 0. And then I stay there for a little bit of time. But then if I do something that helps me connect with myself, like today I went for a walk in the bush, then that brings me back to a comfortable 1. And from a comfortable 1, I can reach 2. But from an uncomfortable 1, I can't.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sarah. That's beautiful sharing of
helpful to anyone.
Well, thank you for sharing your self-awareness, because that really shows actually how you're able to observe the fluctuation of your energies. And so thank you very much, and thank you all for engaging into this experience. And before we go to a meditation together, and we're going to have some time to ask questions afterwards, if you would like. But maybe just before we go to the meditation, I would like to actually invite you, following this experience, to start observing in your day-to-day life how you fluctuate in terms of your presence without judging yourself. You know, we have so many opinions because we want to intellectually understand. And we forget that it's not only intellectually that we can understand life. We can also learn about life simply by observing and welcoming what is. And the relational compass allows us to observe our movement and to realize we all, today is a beautiful testimonial. We all fluctuate. We all move. That's part of our humanity. It's being human. And if we can start to welcome ourselves in that movement, we can start to welcome the others. When we are talking to others, listening to others, let's never forget that the other is somewhere in that space, in one of those spaces. And as we can see it, it isn't that obvious. It requires that we have a special intention of connecting, of presence, to discover the space of presence of the other. And of course, our state of presence is going to tell us about how available we are for the others. And sometimes we're not available for the others. And I can tell you, when I used to work in the suicide prevention hotline, when you are some days listening to people who are in big distress and you're not available, you know that you're not at your best. It's really deep learning about accepting and just understanding that being present for another, sometimes without even saying anything, can be a gift. So I loved sharing this with you. Thank you so much. We can talk about it more in a little while, but I would like to take maybe the next 15 minutes to do what I will call, normally I call this co-creative silence, but for our group today, I'm going to call this, it's a co-creative guided meditation. So we're going to all contribute to this meditation. And let me do just a couple of minutes of introduction. I like to refer to an experience which I imagine that you have all learned, have you ever cooked with a friend or done some activity with a friend with music in the background? And the music in the background is just carrying us. It's bringing an atmosphere, it's bringing ambiance, and we are just carried by the music. And we don't have to say anything to each other. You know, it carries us. And that, so I'm hoping that you can all refer to a moment like that. Does anybody have no idea of what I'm talking about? If you just lift your hand and I'll say a bit more, or if I, so I'm understanding that everybody knows that. So, you know, if you observe, there's two very interesting things that happens in those moments. One is we don't have to talk together to be at ease. Isn't that amazing? We can just be together. We don't have to talk. We just feel good together because this music is carrying us. And the other thing amazing is that if somebody says, somebody says something, there's actually no need to respond. Have you observed that? Sometimes one of the persons just says something and it's welcomed. You could actually even say something a minute later, which has nothing to do, and it's fine. So it opens a special quality space. So my invitation is let's live this together. And the CD I'm going to put in is called Silence. So our music is silence. And if we stay silent for 15 minutes, that's fine. And if anybody would just like to say something, say it. We're not going to go into conversation. We don't have to respond. We're going to do our best not to judge ourselves. The same three golden rules, right? So I just want to make sure that everybody's understands, or if anybody has a question, or was that clear? So if you have a question, please raise your hand, and otherwise I'll open this space of silence in which we will just settle all together and meditate. And if anybody wants to share anything that comes from their heart, can just share it for everybody, remembering that we don't have to answer, we don't have to say anything coherent behind. So I have 53 past, so let's go until 10 past. So that's going to be 12 minutes. So we'll have 20 minutes for questions and answers. So I will open the space and I will close the space with a short poem. So here we go. please allow me to interrupt this beautiful silence with a short poem called The Challenge by Steve Taylor. How will you know how strong you are unless your strength is tested? How will you know how deep you are unless turmoil breaks your surface and forces you to dive? How will you know what sleeps inside until the whole of you is challenged to wake up? Then you'll turn inside to gather your resources. Your untapped reserves of strength and skill then rise like a sun, amazed by your own brightness, stronger than you ever suspected, deeper than you ever dreamed. Thank you. So thank you for this co-creative silence and guided meditation. And even if none of us spoke during the silence, the meditation, I trust that we all were carrying it, as we could each speak if we wanted to. So we all carried that shared silence together. So thank you again. And Chris, I'm all open to share, answer any questions or remarks.
Right, so well, let's open it to questions. So is there anybody who would like to ask a question? Please, if you'd like to just unmute yourselves and ask your questions, you're more than welcome to. Mark, I have a question. Would you like to speak a little bit about, would you like to speak a little bit about, we've been watching the breath and meditation and using that as our meditation vehicle. I was wondering if you'd like to say something about watching silence or listening. What's happening and just observing as meditation.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, I'd be happy to share a few words which come to me now around listening to silence. So what I find interesting is to bring discernment between outside silence and inner silence. And we often, I think that I'm going to make something very general, but I think I'm not taking too many risks with people who meditate like you all do. But usually we really appreciate silence environments. The reality is that sometimes we don't find environments as silent as we would like to. So that's when we all work around our, how can we cultivate that silence, even if there are noises of, I don't know, cars, planes, or people coughing, or so this is a great exercise for us to keep our inner peace when we aspire to this outer silence. What I'd like to maybe just share with you on this question, Chris, is the following, is that what I've observed as this is really, we're sharing about listening and presence, is that what I find helps the most to be in that silence and quality of presence with others, and to build our inner peace, is to develop our awareness of how we are sharing our opinions, our point of views, our beliefs. Most of the time, if you observe, human beings are sharing point of views, opinions, beliefs, and it takes most of the space of conversations. And if we want to start observing inner silence, starting to silent our point of views and our opinions is a wonderful space to cultivate more silence and inner peace. So this is a deep topic, but that's what I hope that can be meaningful for some of you. That we can actually observe this relationship of we have with how we are sharing our point of views and opinions in our life. We can actually start to observe a deeper silence inside when we have less the need to give our point of view. We can observe a new form of silence. Does that make any sense, Chris?
Yes, it does. And thank you very much, Mark. It definitely does. Is there anyone else who would like to offer a question, ask a question, or offer a comment about this evening's session? Martha.
I was just wondering, because I want to note them. What were the three rules? What were the three golden rules? And let me write those down. I'm trying to type them.
Yeah, so the first golden rule is in the space of the relational compass or creative silence, we only speak if we want to. So there's like a group agreements that we don't have to talk. We can just be together in silence and that's fine. So we only talk if we want to. The second is not judging. We do our best to not judge others and ourselves. And the third is that within this space, we don't go into conversation. And this helps a lot to keep a different pace to what the outside world usually invites us to, which is quite fast.
Is this supposed to be all the time or just during the space together for us, e.g. that is, for example, such as during this class or group?
No, that's just within the relational compass we did. So. Now, if you want to give your point of views or your opinions or share anything, please do. You know, this was really just within the relational compass or within the co-creative silence meditation. Yeah.
You also said something about earlier. You said something about just being aware of where you are. Is it possible for you to talk just a little bit more about that?
Yeah,
I think it went along with the not judging ourselves, maybe. I think it went along with that part. Could you just talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, if we did a relational compass now altogether, that there's chances that some of you have moved space. So that's what I mean about where we are. In other words, you know, it's coming back to ourselves, because as I was saying, you know, the reality is we can't offer to others what we're not offering to ourselves. So when we're in an uncomfortable space, it's very useful to recognize that we're in that space, which may be a zero or uncomfortable one, because when we recognize where we are, particularly in the uncomfortable, but it's also useful, like, can I say a few words about why it's also useful when even in the comfortable, but in the uncomfortable, it's particularly useful because it's going to allow us to come back to ourselves. If we want to reconnect with ourselves, with life, we need to come back to ourselves. And that's why I was talking how important self-compassion is, because not judging ourselves is an essential door to reconnect.
At what point does it become wallowing?
At what point does it become?
Wallowing in one's own, instead of just recognizing, okay, I'm in this uncomfortable space, versus wallowing in it. You see what I'm saying?
What does wallowing mean? I'm sorry, I don't know that term.
Wallowing means like, oh, poor me, poor me, poor me. Oh, I'm so sad all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, poor me, poor me. I'm so frightened all the time. Oh, but oh, look, at least I'm recognizing it. Oh, poor me, yeah. Poor me. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So and wallowing like that could you know, can have the same effect as judging ourselves. Because saying poor me, it's a way of bringing a point of view, a judgment, right, on what we're going through. So the invitation is to try and cultivate equanimity, so where we can actually see our point of views, we see our opinions, we see that part of us, because it's a part of us that's wallowing, and we actually acknowledge it and try and come back into our seated self, which is the space where we can actually, which is where meditation helps a lot, which actually doesn't kick away our judgments or our, you know, wallowing, but just recognizes and allows it to be, and then come back to ourselves. Does that help, Marta?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Joseph.
Hello, Mark. I have actually two questions. First, is about the relational compass. So you mentioned that the flow is in the quarter three. My question is, why is it possible to have flow in quarter one? Because I experienced a lot of flow in quarter one. And it's not just about other people. It's just about my comfort, what I'm doing and where I am and how I am connected with myself and my activity and my purpose. And the second question is about how you see the connection with other people is very often about the emotions. Some people can be neutral, some people can have positive, and some people can have negative impact. So how you deal with the emotion, what is your suggestion, how you work with the emotion, and how you suggest to train the emotions that I am, for example, I find myself that I'm empath, so I'm very receptive person. So I have to deal with this, that I can easy connect with bad emotions, that somebody is not good mood, and I'm taking it to myself.
Thank you, Joseph, for your questions. So your first question actually does come up from time to time. Thank you, because it shows that you are really, you know, engaged in the process of exploring what these spaces mean, actually. So I'll maybe give you one answer, which will give a definition. I've worked, and I work a lot with people in sports, and people who work with individual sports actually very often come with this same question, which is, well, I feel in the three when I'm actually in the one, because I'm just so connected to myself, to life. But actually, they usually say that, and that's maybe your case, Joseph, because I'm not necessarily in a space where I want to relate with other people, but I just feel very connected to myself and to life. So yes, the experience of the three, the bliss, the flow, can absolutely be experienced by some in the one. The whole idea of the relational compass is to have a common language, but actually that we each then define what is my one, what is my zero, what is my three. So the idea of this approach is not to come, you know, with a closed definition and you're in it or you're not. So I love your question because you're already embracing it for yourself, that your three is really when you're in a high level one. So yes, absolutely, it can be in the one. Your second question, you know, 20 years ago, this is my perception, having been observing our human evolution with emotions. And for the last 20 years, we've gone through a big shift. At the end of the last century, the end of our last millennium, we have the privilege, all of us, to experience not only the change of a century, but we have we are very few to experience a change of a millennium, and here we are. But there's been a major shift in terms of human communication, and that is that we started to realize that emotions are really, they have a lot of liveliness in one way or another. And that actually we can get to know more about ourselves through our emotions and understanding our emotions. So I'll just point two or three things which manifested that shift. One, of course, is the book on emotional intelligence of Daniel Goleman. But there's been positive psychology. There's been the notion of resilience. So there's more and more knowledge and language around understanding emotions. And we're going to be entering, I think we're entering a new phase now after 20 years, which is where we are invited to more self-responsibility so that we are not actually driven by our emotions, but we are able to master our emotions, but master them in a respectful way, not the master, you know, who condemns and pushes them down, but the master who embraces his emotions and realizes, thank you, even when I'm angry, you're telling me something important about me, about inside me. So emotions are just the top of the iceberg. They're just giving a color of is it comfortable in there or uncomfortable. And I mentioned before that I actually avoid talking about negative and positive emotions, but rather comfortable or uncomfortable, so that we can explore all of our emotions. So a key understanding is that all our emotions are the expression of deep values and qualities inside us, which can be mentioned as needs. But needs, not in terms of needy or outside stuff, needs human core needs inside us. And I was very fortunate to work with many years with a man who did an amazing work around this, who was called Marshall Rosenberg. And he actually worked with a man called Carl Rogers, who was one of the humanistic psychologists who brought empathy and he developed a lot in the medical world, and Marshall Rosenberg brought out nonviolent communication. So if you're interested in knowing more, Joseph, around that, I would invite you, if it's not already the case, to read Marshall Rosenberg's work around nonviolent communication. And today, there are nonviolent communication teachers in the whole world, in every country, and many people who studied and worked with him have written books, so there's a lot around that. But there you can learn a lot around how to actually stay, as I was saying, you know, master of your emotions, especially when you're a very empathic person, where sometimes our empathy can lead us to uncomfortable spaces where we maybe feel that we're losing it, or that we would like to be able to have a different form of presence or position. So there, does that answer your questions?
Yeah, that answer. Could you please spell the Marshall Rosenberg name?
So Marshall, M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L, Marshall, and Rosenberg, Rosenberg, R-O-S-E-N-B-E-R-G. And otherwise, you just tap into nonviolent communication. There you are. You have a book up there. Catherine's okay. Showing.
Thank you.
Beautiful work Marshall has done, yeah. We have time for one more question, Chris. You're welcome, Joseph.
Yes, actually, before I believe Tony had his hand up for a question. Tony, do you still have a question you'd like to ask?
Thank you, Chris. It's probably more a comment than...
You're welcome. A comment would be wonderful, Tony. You're most welcome.
Thank you. I found it very interesting, or what's been running through my mind is how we can experience silence together, even though we are all in different parts of the world. I don't know if I'm rambling, but it seemed to strike me that it relates somehow to universal consciousness. And I don't know if that's, part of, what you've explored, but I was just, intrigued, I guess, that normally we sit in a room with others and we can sit there in silence, but we can also have silence in this context as well, as we do every week as well with meditation. Don't know if that makes sense.
Thank you, Tony. Well, it does for me. Well, I'll tell you what resonates for me is that even though we can be in different states of being in terms of our relational energy and different parts of the world, there is this kind of sacred space of silence where we can all be one together. So that's how it resonates for me. So thank you.